We are in the book of Malachi, and we'll talk about his next question about robbing God. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So that's kind of a promise that God made to them from the very beginning. If you will do my will, I will bless you. I'll give you houses you didn't build, cities you didn't found, vineyards you didn't plant. And, they would have been blessed with a good harvest, plenty for everybody every year. And then every seventh year, they could rest from their labors and live on what they had stored up. In the past, that was every seventh year, right? Yeah. And it would have just been, can you imagine that? Having a sabbatical year every seventh year and always have plenty. But yet, I believe God works in the same way, really. People who are hardworking and study their craft and are diligent and honest and those people succeed. Not that, it was my grandmother, Ada Carrito, talked about the Depression because she was right in the middle of that. And although things were hard, they always ate. They always had clothing. They always had a place to stay. Now, not that it was easy, but so much better than a lot of people. I believe this is true today. If not to say there won't be someone who has the life of Job, who is like unto Job, very righteous and sincere and God fearing and obeying God, that there won't be people that have that. But I think God does not allow anything to happen to us that will make us lose our faith. And, like the man that prayed, don't give me so much that I'm proud or haughty or so little that I'm tempted to steal. And I think that's where God puts us. Some people have a gift forgiving. If we read in, I think it's the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Romans. And I think it's repeated in 1 Corinthians somewhere. But the same idea that one of the gifts so the church may grow and prosper is charity. Some people are gifted with charity. But anyway, this is a when we don't give God his due, not only in tithes or giving, but in observing the Lord's Day. You know, Cindy and I travel a lot. I can only think of one time we couldn't find a place to worship on vacation. And that was in Utah, southern Utah. And that's the only one I can remember we ever missed. So there's Churches of Christ around, and you know, places we've gone, they've remarked that, wow, you're on vacation and you take time. Of course. Anyway, any comments on that? There's a lot could be said there.
Pardon me. There was a question, I think, last week or last time about tithing.
Oh,
done
yeah.
Annually or whenever.
I think we did talk about these verses.
we did some reading, and I think it's in that book, Manners and Customs of the Bible Times.
Uh-huh.
It talks about how they would put a die on the shepherd's club, and every tenth sheep they would mark for the Lord, regardless whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. Now, when they went to offer it to the Lord, then the priest had to approve whether that particular sheep was worthy of sacrifice.
That makes sense.
But I got the impression that it was as the crops came in, or as the folds were increased, mm-hmm. that's when the tithing took place.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Okay,
You know, they were always hearing but never learning.
Yeah.
They could look back in their history and see when they obeyed God and the commandments, the tithes, the whole thing. They were very prosperous. And they just never learned.
Oh.
And, you know, they're just hearing, but it's not getting through to them. And, they should have known that. From their history, if nothing else.
Yeah.
They should have known that God would provide for them. He would fight their battles. Why didn't they remember this?
Yeah. It's like heaven on earth, really. It could have been very close to that. Okay, verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. That's kind of what you were saying, Paul. They would be a place people would marvel at. The devourer, how many times and in what ways were the children of Israel plagued? Famine, pestilence, drought, warfare, these things. And none of those, you know, he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So, their land would be blessed, delightsome. That's what the King James says. That's a very fitting name, or term to describe what they could have had. Okay, anything else? Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And of course, they have received a cursing instead of a blessing. That's the deal. Everything, all the promises that I know that God, even in the beginning with Adam and Eve, this is a beautiful place. All you've got to do is what little work there was and just enjoy life. The fruits and the vegetables and all the herbs and stuff will be there for you to eat. And they say it's vain to serve the Lord. Well, they haven't been serving the Lord. That's the issue. But they blame God rather than take responsibility. And like Paul said, look around and said, well, look what we could have. Verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. Yes, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And that's the way it looks, doesn't it? When we look around. There's a psalm also that said, you know, I looked around and the wicked were prospering and but then I thought about the end. And their end is not going to be very desirable. Eat, drink, be merry, be rich, do whatever you want, treat people whatever way you want. But and they just keep getting ahead. And but when you consider their end, where they're going to spend eternity, it's not so, you don't want it. You don't desire that. Paul.
When you talk about how they spoke about God, I thought about it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles you. And that's what they were doing.
Pitiful, yeah.
I was going to point out how it's good you point out that they say it was vain, yet in reality it was their own vanity that was blinding them to what to what they had and what they had been given by promise.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think to say is it seems almost as if they've completely forgotten everything they had learned before, all the things that God has done, all the things that God had said He would do. It just can only be. It only sounds like complete ignorance. Like they have not the first clue of what they're talking about, and it's astounding that some people with that history would come to that. But there they were, and there's no other way to say it.
Yeah. It just seems like there are some people like Mr. Scrooge just hate to give anything up.
I was thinking how at the start of 13, your words have been harsh against me. It is against God Himself, God's nature, God's being, when one says it's useless to serve Him.
Yeah. 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 It's a fearful thing not to serve Him. That's what they should be thinking, getting their things back in order. Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And this is a wonderful thing. This is how we can consider a thing. And maybe in this case, decide, you know, we better rededicate ourselves. There's that kind of idea. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance. So, if you were in it, you would want it to say that we feared the Lord, we respected him, reverenced him, honored him, and we thought about him a lot. That's what I would want. And that belongs to those who worship God and keep his commandments and ordinance like he wants us to. So that's a very good thing. And I think that's kind of what we do when we come together. We remind people of things, and things are brought up often about the kind of people we should be and the things that we should be about. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, those people in the book of remembrance that feared him and thought about him, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And I think really on judgment day, we're going to really know the difference in those that feared God and those that didn't fear him. That's when we're going to take a deep breath and say, I am so glad that I learned about him and I followed him as best as I could. And that's when the ones who are unrighteous and did not know him or care to follow him, they're going to know, wow, this is what it cost me. Cost my eternal soul for all of those things I had. And I think that's when the distinction is going to be known for sure.
That phrase, book of remembrance, just kind of was kind of a curiosity for me, so I just did a quick search. It is also mentioned in Exodus chapter 17, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
Yeah,
that's quite a statement there. But then if we carry that over to the New Testament, then we see that on the judgment day, the books are opened. And those books are, if our name is found, written in the one book, the book of life, or in the other book, that book of our deeds, which we have done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think everybody's name will be in the book of deeds, and a bill.
And we can discern. It says we can discern the righteous and the wicked.
Yeah.
So we know.
Yeah.
What's righteous? We know what's wicked.
Yeah.
And we know if we're serving God or if we're not serving him. So we're not left without being able to figure it out,
right?
What we need to be doing. So,
yeah. Even little children somehow know when they do wrong, when they hit their siblings and the sibling cries. They know, and that's how we observe things too. Ronnie,
there's a noticeable difference between the people spoke about in verses 6 through 13, and then those in 16 to 18. The ones in 6 to 18, you feared the Lord. They understood who he was. properly. And I noticed in 6 through 13 that testing God or tempting God is mentioned twice. And at both times, it reveals those people's lack of knowledge of God and what his goodness really is. Mm-hmm. The first time is, you know, test me by bringing the tithes and see how good I'm going to be with my blessings to you. The second time is in their rebuke when they say the evil people prosper and put God to the test and they escape.
Yeah.
They fail to recognize God's patience and forbearance with them, wanting them to turn back to him, his long-suffering nature toward them. You know, they see it as a bad thing that God's been so patient.
Yeah, last week we read a verse that the Lord is patient and kind, otherwise would be consumed. Grace, you know. He gives us time.
He says here in 16 about meditating on his name. And that made me reflect of, what is it, Psalm 1 that talks also about meditation. Psalm 19 that talks about his words are more desirable than gold. 119. There's a lot there to think about, and it's not just regurgitation. It's the meditation. It's the taking in and then wrestling the concepts and the thoughts of God.
And it's interesting to me that at the end of the new, the old covenant, and prophets at the very end, what are they talking about? Talking about the end time. Because that's what it's all about. Is the judgment day. And chapter 4 gets into that a lot better. But the New Testament ends with the same thing. The last day. Because after all we live and all we do, all we say, how we are we in a right standing with God on the last day?
I was just going to say, I'm not sure what the assembled, how many assembled people were here. I mean, what composed the group that he's speaking with, but can you imagine after going through about all those things that they have done against him, and then he goes to those who have served him, those who have not done these things, what an encouragement that would be to them as they were going through what they're going through and what they will go through. And that will give them hope, just like we have hope. No matter how bad things get around us, we have the words that tell us everything's going to be okay. And that's, these people at that time must have really needed that.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, you know, in our life, we have moments when we meditate and think, I need to make a change. Hopefully we have all gone through that process. I need to correct that. And I think when we assemble together, we can talk about those things. And sometimes I've been sitting in the audience and a light bulb comes on. And I see clearly what the truth is in those passages. I mean, I think that's what they're talking about here is, you know, have we been rubbing on too? What can I do to make sure? And I think, you know, putting a red spot on every 10th sheep or, you know, whatever is a good way to do that.
something that caught my eye was verse 17 at the very end of it, where it talked about a man who spares his son who serves him. My mind instantaneously went to Abraham when God said, "You will sacrifice your son Isaac." And Abraham did not flinch or hesitate. He and Isaac both went to the appointed spot. And right before, and as he was about to put the knife into Isaac, God, his father, spared his son from that pain and sacrifice and said, "You have served me well." And I think that's a reminder to these people that, at least I think another reminder, that I've been there for you from the beginning, and just, I will forgive and have mercy if you give up the vile ways you have embraced. And I think that's a powerful message, and one that touches me in my heart. It says that I'm guilty. We're all guilty of something, and God will forgive if we serve Him and be what we are called to be in these pages. Yeah. And that's all I can say.
Paul, I was just going to say when he talked about robbing him and the tithes and so, I usually think about that when we have communion. We need to think about, to take up the collection. You know, we don't need to write that check at the last minute. We need to think about before we write that check.
Yeah. I don't mean any disrespect to people, but we were in New Orleans at a church, and the preacher got up, and I think they were having a problem with their collection, and he said something on this order, among other things. And if you're still giving that same $10 bill you did 20 years ago today, you need to reexamine yourself. And you know, I'm not saying that two mites isn't a sufficient offering, but isn't it all subjective? I mean, if you got a million and you give two mites, shame on you.
Yeah. So that brings to my mind something Jack has used in several of his lessons. A quote, I can't remember where from, but it was about someone saying, I want only $3 of Jesus. It's like you put a limit on, say, I'm only going to give so much. Like you say, it's like if they give the same amount and they've just done it over and over and over again, it means they're basically going by rote. Their heart isn't in what they're doing. And we need to always examine ourselves, make sure, are we giving as we've been prospered? Yeah. And as we have been blessed with?
Let every man examine himself. Yeah, and that's something we can't judge each other about. I mean, really, it's like the Lord's Supper. How do we know if a person's taking it unworthily or not? We really don't. But let every man examine his own self. Well, got 2 minutes. Any comments? I will be gone next Wednesday. If someone wants to have something else or continue in the fourth chapter. But anyway, let me read this one thing. Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and is. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before the Lord, and the books were opened. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's what to me the whole plan of salvation is. It's God gives us free will to decide whom we will serve. And it's that last day that will justify our faith. And we'll know we were right and we made the right choice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word and that so many were able and willing to come out and consider the words and think about you and think about what you have written for us. We pray that you would give us strength to be the people that we should be, a people purchased and sanctified and saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that we know Him, have obeyed Him, and obeyed His gospel. Help us to serve you with all our heart and strength to give honor to your name and to give the words of salvation to those around us. This is our prayer as we leave in Jesus' name. Amen.